Good afternoon, St. Louis. DGS 104.1 FM KMOX. Happy Friday to everybody. No more Andrew. Well, no, not no more Andrew.
I mean, that was pretty.
That was
pretty definitive.
He gone. No, he's
sayonara.
He's on his way to Vegas, and he'll be on vacation all next week. So we will get by without his crazy stories.
Man,
which one of you two is going to start doing stupid stuff?
I don't know, man. I don't have any problems, like, you know, figuring out how to pee in a cup.
I loved yesterday. Rachel had the best line of all of it when she's like, yeah. Or if you have witnessed someone pouring liquid.
Well, you know, it's like, come on, man.
Yeah, well.
He's smarter than that. That's why I feel comfortable making fun of him, is because ultimately I know he's smarter than that.
That's an interesting take.
If I genuinely, well, but he also made the choice, so I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what to say.
But also tried multiple weird iterations of said choice. Like, the simplest one is the only one he didn't get.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. the basic one. Like, oh, yeah, here's how I do this without making a mess.
Yeah. Yeah. Rach says, on National Donut Day, I want to talk about how this show has changed my life.
It has changed my life.
And it's related to donuts?
It is. For a long time, I didn't think I liked jelly donuts.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And I think it was because I tried one as a kid, and I was really sensitive to, like, textures and stuff as a kid. I still am to an extent, but I'm a lot better about it. But I was like, ugh, jelly donuts, gross. But maybe 5 or 6 years ago, there was a story about some, like, skinny little woman who ate, like, 12 jelly donuts in 2 minutes or something. It was crazy. And I think there might have been a viral video to go along with it. And we're watching it. And, oh, do you think you could do it? Blah, 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 blah. And I think it was Sue who brought in a bunch of jelly donuts so we could just try to finish a certain amount in a certain time. They're so good. Mm-hmm. They're actually my go-to donut now.
Wow.
Like, if it's a raspberry jelly donut with, like, a glaze on the whole outside.
Yeah.
That I bought donuts from Schnucks today for National Donut Day and brought them into work. And before I put them out at the newsroom, I grabbed that raspberry jelly donut for myself.
Yeah.
That's the one I wanted more than any
of them. It's a great divider of people.
There are bad ones. I think that's the thing. There are bad ones, though. Like, if you start off with the bad ones, it's like, ugh. But the good ones are so good.
How would you describe the bad ones?
Probably more like just the jelly you would find in a jar as opposed to something made well.
Okay.
You know? Like, if it's just Smuckers inside a donut, it's probably not going to be that great. Even though Smuckers is pretty good on peanut butter.
I love jelly.
Yeah.
I'm a big PBJ guy.
Me too.
You know, butter jelly. You can't have too much jelly in a jelly donut. Like, if you bite into it, it comes horking out, like, nah.
Oh, so it's too much. I see. Yeah.
No, you know what?
Why aren't cherry donuts like that? Ooh. Why do they have only raspberry, strawberry, blueberry, and apple?
Dude, cherry donuts.
I know. It's like a cherry Danish is already, like, the elite. So why not inside a donut, too?
See, this is why this is a good show, is because we're always brainstorming and we're thinking of important new things.
Yes.
Yeah.
Someone really should be monitoring
this. I hope someone from Schnucks is listening. Maybe you can implement this into the next round of donuts.
I have here the top 24 donuts ranked.
Okay.
Let me go through them quick.
Let's do it.
The number 24 is plain cake.
Yeah.
Sure.
Could it be 25?
Really?
They're just so dull.
I like it with, like, a nice cup of coffee.
Yeah.
That's a good breakfast donut.
Yeah.
And it's really good, speaking of Entenmann's the other day, when you get, like, the variety pack and they have the powdered, the chocolate, and the plain. Sometimes the plain is like, all right, we'll take the edge off for a second here. Yeah. We'll go back to basics.
Coconut cake. Shut up.
That should be
27.
Sorry.
No one should ever eat that. Lemon jelly. That should be illegal.
Yeah, that doesn't sound good, even though I just said I love the jelly donuts. The lemon, I'll pass.
Chocolate cake should be way higher.
Yeah.
That's a classic.
Mm-hmm.
Cinnamon bun.
Oh, way higher.
Strawberry frosted. No thanks.
That's yummy. Pretty good.
That's about where it should be, though.
Maple glaze. No thanks.
Same.
Bear claw.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Same as a cinnamon bun. Powdered granulated sugar.
I like those.
Oh, yeah.
I
like a twist. Just the sugar donut.
Yeah.
Powdered sugar. Apple cider. Number 12 is my favorite.
Oh, the apple cider should be higher.
The French cruller. That's my favorite.
Yum, yeah.
Boston cream, yuck. I don't like the yellow stuff.
Ew, yellow. I hate that color.
Glaze twist.
All right.
Blueberry cake.
One of my favorites. Lore. Schnucks does one. I eat donuts other than Schnucks donuts, but Schnucks does good donuts, and they're cheap, so I eat them a lot. They do a glazed blueberry, and then there's a cream cheese like icing on top. Oh, baby. It's good.
Crumb cake. Could be number one or two.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Donut holes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's pretty generic. Never heard anybody.
Apple fritter. Not a fan.
Oh, those are great.
Ooh, love them.
Raged your raspberry jelly.
Yummy.
Number three is the old fashioned. I like those.
What's that?
They're sort of like a pound cake, kind of craggly and cracky.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, those are good.
Rainbow sprinkles. What am I? Five. And the number one is the classic glaze.
Hard to go wrong.
That should be number 20.
That's what I had today.
Dave was snacking on today.
Nice.
All right. Well, that's the show. I hope everyone enjoyed it.
Yep.
Why are the donuts on there? They're not the fancy ones. Why can't we have the ones like it's got peanut butter frosting and peanut butter cups and a bunch of other stuff? Those are the good ones. Those fancy ass ones.
Dave, aren't you one of those people who aren't interested in that type of thing?
Zero.
Oh, no. Zero. Give me the one with the cookies on it.
Nope. Don't like it.
A little Butterfinger on there.
Yum, Butterfinger.
I like donuts. I like Butterfingers. I don't like Butterfingers on my donuts. I hate stupid donuts where it's like, this is a sriracha, blah, blah,
blah.
Well,
I don't want anything that's supposed to be savory. No, thank you.
Like, if you're trying that friggin' hard, it's a donut.
Yeah.
It takes real idiot to mess up a donut.
Yeah, let it speak for itself. That being said, I really like it when they put cereal on the donuts.
Yeah.
That's good. Like some Cap'n Crunch.
Yeah. Oh, Cinnamon
Pebbles.
Toast Crunch I've had on there.
Yes.
Dave, are you the same way with your ice cream? You don't want stuff in your ice cream?
Very limited.
Because I want all the stuff in the ice cream.
No. No.
I want all the cookies and the cookie dough and the candies and stuff.
I especially don't like the cookie dough.
Really?
And I love cookie dough.
I know.
That's not cookie dough.
Yeah. Oh, it's so good.
That's some sort of nylon.
No.
What to talk about? An interesting conversation last night. Someone asked me if I was afraid to die. You know, kind of a classic, you know.
A happy hour.
How was
your day?
It was my DoorDash guy.
Yeah. I don't know, but that's a pretty discomforting question from a delivery dude.
And I
like, what are you trying to talk about
here? I thought about it, and here's my real answer. I don't want to not exist, but I'm less afraid of being dead than I am of dying.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
Because there are a lot of ways to go.
You never know.
Yeah, right.
You never know.
Right.
People have gone in some really terrible ways.
Yes. I think that's a much more fair way to look at it. Because either way, if being dead is, all right, on to the next thing.
Right.
Heaven, hell, or whatever. Or it's nothing. All right. Those are all okay, except for the hell one.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't want to go to hell.
I might take over that place.
Hell sounds not so fun.
But for the most part, most of the outcomes, like, yeah, all right.
But that
process may not be so
if you
enjoyable.
Go to hell,
everybody's going to leave.
Within 10,000 years, you've annoyed them enough to at least go to purgatory.
We're promoting you to head demon. You are really good at this.
This guy never stops arguing with me.
Everyone keeps jumping in the lake of fire just to get away from this guy. All he talks about is OPS.
He's like calling God, we need a truce. I can't do this anymore.
Can't do it.
Yeah, St. Peter's on the phone like, I don't know. We're pretty full up here. You're
breaking up, St. I'll have to call you back.
I'll do anything. Just take him.
Okay, I was not raised Catholic, so purgatory is a bit of
it's a weird thing.
A gray area for me, which I think it's a gray area in general, right? But do they ever talk about, like, do people get to purgatory and go, could be worse, and they just hang out there for like a long time.
I think I would.
I think that's kind of the way it's viewed as a neutral like waiting room.
Okay. I've always it's been explained to me by priests.
Yeah, but it's
of
changed.
The temples of Syrinx.
Let's be clear. The way that thing is framed changes.
Oh, well, of course, it's the word
time.
Of God. Why wouldn't it change? He changes his mind all the time. But it's basically an in-between place where if you don't really qualify for heaven, you haven't done the sacraments, you haven't this, you haven't that, but you're not a complete piece of crap. You go to purgatory where it's unpleasant but not torturous.
Right.
And you kind of learn some lessons. You spend a few thousand years, then maybe you go to heaven. That's as I understand it.
All right. Seems like a better deal than going straight to hell.
Yeah, I remember the theme, like the big theme. And again, it's been a long time since I was in school, but the thing was, it's like, this is how you kind of get cleansed and purified. Like, it kind of takes away all your terrible stuff.
Makes more sense in hell.
I mean, yeah, I've always felt like that one was just made up to scare people. Even when I was a kid, I'm like, that doesn't seem like it's very fair.
Oh, I just noticed I don't have my little fireplace.
Oh.
Do you know how he's accomplishing that? Is that
zero
through, like,
idea.
YouTube or something?
Yeah, no clue.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Probably.
But you don't have any ads. Is Andrew logging into YouTube Premium for your fireplace every day?
Could be. That's fine with me.
That's dedication.
Yeah. I don't know. Shoot. We don't really have time to jump into it.
Dave's like, I can't do it because I don't have my fireplace.
I can't possibly do content if I don't have my cozy fireplace.
I don't even feel cozy enough.
Welcome back, DGS on Camo Wax 121. Camo Wax. I don't know why I said it like that. I watch the first 5 minutes of Meet the Press every Sunday, even though I hate that show, just to hear Kristen Welker say, "Meet the press. Meet the press." Like, yes. Like, I can't go on with my Sunday without it. Meet the press.
Got to have the sorority S's in there.
Yeah. Yeah. So dumb.
Try and after she says that, you're like, I'm good.
100%. Guaranteed. 100%. I'm gone. Like, it's just a place where people go to lie.
Well,
Republicans and Democrats. Why book anyone on Meet the Press? They just lie. You can ask them the same question 3 times, and then they always move on.
Oh, yeah.
So if you tell me, hey, I've got some tough questions for you, but I'm only going to ask you 3 times, then I'm going to move on. Like, okay, I can do this.
Yeah.
This isn't so bad.
I can hold out. Been trying a new thing. I saw something for people who have intrusive thoughts like I do, anxiety, stuff like that. And it said that you should, okay, let me get this right. Rather than thinking, I'm upset or I need a break, you should refer to yourself. This sounds so stupid now that I'm saying it out loud. You should refer to yourself in the third person, to yourself. Like, you can,
like,
say
talk
it
to yourself.
Yeah, like, you can say it out loud. But
Kevin needs a donut.
Yes. Dave's really anxious about getting his blood taken tomorrow. Blah, blah, blah. That it somehow separates you just enough to where you don't feel quite as, you know.
That makes sense.
It does?
It does.
You don't know because you don't have anxiety.
I mean, not generalized. No, definitely not.
That could be the meanest thing anyone's ever said to me.
No, I mean, everybody has it about specific real things. You know, somebody you love is sick or whatever. I mean, like, that's, of course. But not just out of nowhere.
Well, if you do get that, I mean, I get that a lot. And working on it every day, but there are, like, lots of different methods you can try to use. One is called the RAIN method, and it's like, first big thing for me is I don't like to admit that I'm anxious.
Oh.
I try to fight it off and power through.
Gotcha.
It's much better to recognize, that's the R in RAIN, and then acknowledge it and be like, okay, accept it, just be like, this is happening. Investigate, like, ask yourself why, and then N is nurture. So just be nice to yourself and be like, it's okay. It's not the end of the world. You'll get through this.
Makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
We knew that tarps off would go everywhere, and now it's at, like, every major league stadium.
Yeah.
Does it bother anyone in any way? Like, hey, that's our thing. Or I'm sure people did it before the guys did it at Bush.
I mean, I think there was a place where they did it in April this year, and it wasn't Bush Stadium. Now, it didn't catch on, but, you know, it happened. It's fine. I think it's one of those things where you can still claim ownership of it blowing up, but also, like, okay, it's okay for everybody to have fun. It's okay for the Major League Baseball stadium to be a fun place for people to go. I mean, this is one of those things that Major League Baseball has been dying for, which is for the ballpark atmosphere and energy to be fun. And it's way better when it's like coming from the crowd than coming from the loudspeakers or, you know, something the team has to create. It's cool.
Yeah, it seems a little silly to like act like we invented taking our shirts off.
Well, we can still brag about it, you know.
Right,
hey, but we did that.
You're not allowed to do that. Only we can do that. It's like, I don't think that's true. I think anyone can do
that. You never thought of taking your shirt off.
Yeah, I mean, it's the modern version of the wave, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't involve the whole crowd, which the wave did. But I mean, for a long time, you go to a ball game and the wave was happening. And it was happening all game long and it was going to be different. You've seen all the different versions of the wave, right? You have the normal one, and then you have the double going in opposite directions, and then you got a slow one and a fast one, and like the upper deck and lower deck going in different directions. They used to go crazy with that.
This won't shock you. I'm not a wave guy.
No, I get it. I'm not really either, but for a long time, it was a big deal.
Oh, I know. I remember being annoyed.
Yeah, I mean, I get you, man. I don't need to be like standing up and going, oh, but I get it.
You guys seen this story about the CIA guy that stole all the gold bars?
Yeah.
So they found him with like $2 million in cash, 40 gold bars, a bunch of other stuff. I've said this kind of thing before, and I just really feel like I'm right. Hollywood and the government conspired to sell us a bill of goods about how badass we are and about how cool the CIA is and how we know everything, you know, and we just don't. This guy got into the CIA by lying.
Oh.
Said that he was a Navy pilot, and he wasn't.
And they didn't check?
And they didn't check.
The CIA didn't check?
And the guy was in the CIA, he was in there for years. And, like, everything he told them was a lie. So he got in on lies, and then he lied while he was there. And don't you think from movies that you have to take, like, a lie detector test twice a year, and they, you know.
I guess it depends on what your role is.
I don't know. I mean, he had a role where he could steal gold bars.
I mean,
man,
that's amazing to me that they didn't check the resume.
Right?
Like, of all the places, you would think that the spy agency would want to know.
I thought they had to approach you to enter the CIA.
Oh, I think it's a little of both.
Okay.
I think it's a little of both.
Those are the cool stories we hear.
I mean, they do that. I mean, like, they recruit.
Yeah.
But I also believe it's just like any other government agency. You have to be able to take applications for certain types of positions.
Yeah.
I don't think they're like open ads for like, hey, want to be a spy?
We're looking for a spy.
I think they're doing that for people that want to be analysts or want to work in the desks or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Work in IT.
Do you love hoarding gold bars?
Come on down.
We have the job for you.
Do you think you could fool us about your resume? Come on in.
I mean, that does seem crazy. It does seem like at the very least they would speak to your superior in the military.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, what's this person like? Are they, is this guy an ass kicker? Is he lazy? I mean, you would want to talk to a lot of, quote, previous employers, right?
Yeah. Back DG Ass on KMOX 133. She was terminally pretty. Rachel, on the show sheet you have, what did we do as humans before we worked? I like that.
Yeah, I thought this was really interesting, posing the question, what did ancient humans do all day before work was invented? So, you know, you have this idea of Fred Flintstone getting in his little car and
going to work,
trotting down the street. Yeah, but I don't think he did that. And then I think we have this misconception, or I did anyway, that it was just all survival all day long. You're either gathering all day, you're hunting all day, and then you're eating something by the fire and passing out due to exhaustion. But a lot of like experts say this is actually not true. Survival didn't take up nearly as much time as we might think.
I've heard that as well.
Anthropologists have studied pre-agricultural peoples across different continents, and the general consensus is that basic survival activities took between 15 and 20 hours per week. That's a part-time job. I mean, we're working 40 hours a week. Most people are 40 plus. 15 and 20 hours per week spent doing those basic survival activities. So the rest of the time, we were just doing
free time.
Yeah, free time. Fun time.
Not if
you
had kids.
Do whatever you want.
Can you imagine wrangling kids at that time?
Mm.
No toys, no screens, just, well,
saber-tooth tigers, I mean, giant sloths.
Predators all over the place. No, that's it. That is fascinating. That, because it makes sense. Because a lot of the stuff would be like big projects, right? Okay, we have to build shelters. Well, once that's built, that doesn't need to be done again for a while, you know?
I saw a thing last night. I got hooked on a couple of TikTok deals, and it was ironically sort of about this, about ancient man. And they said, now, look, no one can say one way or the other whether some guy named Blowbor put two sticks together and created fire, but none of the scientists believe that. Like, that's the way we think about it, like when we invented fire. And they said what almost certainly happened was that wildfires would spread or lightning strikes, and that we learned to pick up, burning embers and make them our fires. But it probably took a really long time before we figured out how to do it from scratch.
It could have been by accident. I mean, think about the things that could do that. You're sharpening a stone, and you're starting to, you know, doing the click, 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 and a spark flies, and some grass catches fire. Like, oh, look at this. I got to believe a lot of stuff was found by accident like that.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of time was actually spent being creative. So, like, making beads and things out of seashells and such, and then painting. And this article I'm looking at here talks about the Chavet Cave in France. This was discovered in 1994. I had never seen images of this before. This is so beautiful. Just like walls of this cave covered in actual artwork, not crude stick figures or whatever, but art that takes time and takes skill and takes finesse. And these were ancient humans just spending their time, hey, I'm done surviving for the day. I'm going to go make some art in my
cave. We've always wanted our distraction and our creativity, I guess.
Yeah, I mean,
makes sense.
It does make sense that they were like kind of searching for something to channel their energy
into. Painting in caves.
Yeah, what are you supposed to do? Just sit and stare at the fire? And I like doing that. Don't get me wrong. But sometimes you probably have a itch to go make something. Go make something cool.
Yeah.
Be fascinating to see. Have a way back machine.
I know. It's one of those things where it kind of makes you a little sad, doesn't it? Because there's no way we'll ever actually know exactly what was going on. We can always just take our best guess.
Yeah.
It's not like we're going to find a film reel.
Bringing it up to the current time. Look, if you've just tuned in the show for the first time in the past couple weeks, you probably think we're like a tech show because we've talked so much about AI, and we're not. But it's just been in the news, and it happens to sort of fascinate me. But have you guys seen the thing from the guy from Anthropic?
Coming out and asking for a global pause on AI development.
Yeah.
Yes.
He seems like the one who has the most sense out of all of them. And he's saying, like, look, we're getting to places years faster than we thought we would. And he said we could have recursive self something within a year. And that's when AI can write its own code to repair itself or to improve itself. And I don't understand it, but that's a hallmark of like, ooh, this is getting a little bit scary because it can box us out. And he said, like, there's no one running the show. There are just no rules. And that everyone in the world needs the pinky lock and say, we're going to take a break. But he said, of course, you have bad actors out there who
will
never agree, or they'll agree and they'll continue.
That's right.
So we're kind of in a trick box.
Yep.
Yeah, the only reason I'm not completely freaking out because of this story is some people believe that this is maybe a bit of a publicity stunt from Anthropic. Not to like talk bad about them, because I don't really know much about the company and I can't really speak to the people involved, but some believe this is just a way to be like, look at us, we're making these godlike devices. Isn't this crazy? And it'll just kind of drive the appetite for AI even more.
Yeah, I know the least in the room about what this means, but for the first time, which they didn't expect until 2028, but it's already happened, that there are more bots using the internet than humans.
Oh.
Yes.
It feels so obvious when you see it. Like when you're not on Twitter, but when you're on Twitter, it feels like you feel like you're not running into, even though you are running into a lot of humans, it, when you're starting to read comments and everything, you're like, that's almost the exact same word for word thing that I saw on another thread just a minute ago.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess I just don't have a sense of it because I'm not there much at all.
Well, and the problem is that the incentives, as I'm aware of them now, don't really penalize you if the interactions you have are amplified by bots.
Yeah, makes sense. Yeah, just kind of fooling each other.
Sure seems like an easy way for tech companies to make ad revenue.
Yeah.
Just even if they're not doing it, just not policing it can lead to a similar outcome.
Yeah. Couple Trump things. I was fascinated by his sort of fifth grader social studies project thing he did yesterday with the pool,
reflecting pool and the
skyscrapers. Did you see this, Rage?
Yeah.
Not the skyscrapers.
You know how he loves like his little poster boards?
Mm-hmm.
And he has one that has the reflecting pool, which he didn't build. It's been there for a very long time, mm-hmm. compared to skyscrapers.
Mm-hmm.
And it literally says, pool is bigger than skyscrapers. And it's like, who cares? Why does that matter?
Well, what do you mean?
It's also
bigger?
Not some kind of like genius of architecture or engineering. It's a hole in the ground.
Yeah.
Like, it's just a bigger version of the pool that's in somebody's backyard.
It's really cool.
It's cool looking. It's symbolic. It's all of those meaningful things, but it's not like building a skyscraper.
Right. He's just so obsessed with, no one's ever seen anything like it. No one's ever seen something this big or tall or fat or skinny. And it's like, dude, it's you didn't do it. And also, I could be completely wrong about this, but we've been hearing about American flag blue now for weeks, and they just started putting water back in it, and it looks black as coal to me. So I don't know where the American flag blue comes in. I'm not looking forward to it if it is, because I think that's tacky. But anyway.
But the whole point of that pool is that it's the reflecting pool. So the darker the color of the pool, the less reflective it's going to be. The darker the color of the water. Right?
I think the opposite.
No, I think the criticism that I heard of the dyeing of the water is that it will make it less reflective, which is the entire point of the pool.
Yes.
It's called the reflecting pool.
Yeah, right? The darker, the more reflective it is.
Oh, no, I thought it was the opposite. Maybe I got it wrong.
Yeah, because if it's like a blue, then you'll be able to see to the bottom as opposed to just seeing the reflections.
Mm.
But then again, I mean, who knows? I don't know.
Either way.
And he has a new project. It's called The Promenade. And I had the sound, but it's like, whatever. You can seek it out if you want to. But he's going to change the Lincoln Memorial. And he was like, I should have got the sound. He's like, they want to call it the Trump Promenade. I don't know.
They.
Yeah, they.
Who's they?
Who the hell is they?
It's like,
they want to name it after me again.
Just say, I want to.
I don't know.
I mean, probably staffers would be the they, right? Like people that are working around the White House are probably saying, you know what you should do, sir?
It could be the janitor. I mean, it could be anybody.
Well, he does seem awfully easy to work for. Because all you have to do is be
ass.
Like, yeah, just oh, be like, yeah. I think we should call it the Trump Promenade.
You know what this song reminds me of?
Eagles.
When I was in seventh grade, we, junior high, and I've said this before, we had a giant lunchroom that we shared with the high school, and we had the north line and the south line, and the north line was like healthy food, and the south line every day had burgers and pizza.
And it was the one that had the longest line?
Yes. And I was just like, oh my God, I'm like a grown-up. This is amazing. And then they put in a jukebox, and that song would play all the time. And it just takes me back like to that nervous stomach. I'm not sure what table to sit at. Oh, this seat's taken. Sorry, sir. You know, that kind of stuff.
You didn't have like a go-to table?
No.
Oh, that's terrible.
No, it was all Wild West.
Really?
We just sat in the same spot.
See, I don't think
day.
We had a whole lot of choice, but we had a really small school. So
same.
Like,
so then you just kind of go like, oh, this is where I sit.
Your whole class just sat at two tables is what it was.
Yeah, no, we were... Yeah. 200 in every class.
Oh, wow.
In every graduating class, so.
Yeah.
Pretty good size.
Yeah. Steve Miller Band always makes me think of being in the way back seat in our station wagon on the drive from best Michigan
seat,
to Florida.
Best seat ever.
It is pretty great.
Yeah.
It is pretty great.
The
except
one looking
except
behind
I was usually like in one little sliver of it because there's luggage everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always got stuck with the hump.
Oh, yeah?
The middle of the back seat.
Yeah.
Like when anyone else was with us.
Yeah. I always tried to climb back there because my brother and I had to share the back seat. And then I was like, I'm just going back here.
Have either of you guys ever had a truck that had, like, it technically had a back seat, but it was just like a little chair that pulled out?
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
A little jump seat.
Yeah.
I used to sit. This was not easy to do, but when I was little, we would sit in this little back cutout area of my dad's Corvette. You could barely fit in there. Like, it wasn't meant for that. It was meant for you, like, here, I could put something here.
Uh-huh.
It's not meant for a person, but one of us would kind of sneak back there to fit in.
We're talking about ancient man. I saw another thing last night about specifically Neanderthals. Yes, I know it's Neanderthal. And really, they're so much more interesting than we ever imagined. First of all, they were about 5'4", about 200 to 240 pounds. That's stout.
They're tanks.
Almost no fat. Super, super crazy muscled. Could run really fast. Could jump really far. They think that what we know about their bodies and the things that we found, that the only way they hunted was like close enough to stab. They weren't big on throwing spears or projectiles. They would just stealthily walk up on an animal and friggin' fight it.
Crazy.
And beat it. But they said that there may not have been a single Neanderthal who was ever in a group of Neanderthals with more than 30 people. Like, they just never saw crowds bigger than that.
Oh.
Yeah, isn't that interesting?
So they stayed in small little groups.
Yeah, they just didn't even have a concept of...
Maybe that's why we outlasted them.
Could be.
Or one of the reasons. Plus, and we're really mean.
Another thing that I thought was fascinating is that their eyes were... almost nothing like ours. They were much bigger. They had much bigger optical nerves. And they said that if we could look through a visor and see what they saw, we'd be blown away.
Really?
And they said that they were so attuned visually that they could see a twig moving at 200 meters.
Oh.
Yeah. That cool.
I guess you have to be, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we think about how the modern hunters are, the cats, the big cats, the eagles. You know, like the animals that hunt. Well, these guys were hunters. That's what they were.
Yeah.
So you had to evolve to be able to see.
Mm-hmm. Pretty badass.
Surprised they didn't last. Although we all have a little bit of Neanderthal, right?
2%?
Yeah.
Except for sub-Saharan Africans.
Okay.
Yeah, but everyone else has between 2 and 5%.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say you're around 4.
I was going to say I'm probably in the 4 or 5 range.
Yeah.
Short, almost as wide as tall. Yeah. A little SpongeBob build.
Yeah, you could have just cozied up next to the fire. Like, hey, you Ned's cousin?
Well, yeah.
That's me.
Yep. I'm sorry, did you say if they had language? I assume they did.
We don't know that for sure, but they're almost positive that they had the ability to make sounds, and they believe that they had some sort of rudimentary language.
Okay.
So...
they would have had to have some form of communication.
You wouldn't think so.
They never found anything written before one. What was the earliest written?
It's a great question. I'm sure it's Babylonia, probably.
Probably the Sumerians.
6,000 years ago, something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I loved the Sumerians, learning about them in school.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And then they would have the seals and the stamps made out of
really
clay.
Really cool.
Wow. Look at that. It is the Sumerians.
Yeah.
First written language we've ever discovered.
Look at us. Wheels, were you with us when we went to the library? Or was that
Trish
era?
No, that was Trish.
Yeah, no.
They took us back to this Holy of Holies
where
they had all this stuff. And they had one of those little cuneiform clay things.
Squares?
Yeah.
Yeah.
About the size of a pack of cigarettes.
That's pretty cool.
Thousands of years old.
Yeah.
I swiped it.
Nice.